If you think back over the past 2 years, how confusing did you find all of the COVID-19 health alerts, the information, the restrictions, the changes to restrictions, what you can do, what you can't do, where you can go, the curfews, all of those things. How confusing was that? Well, imagine if English was your second language. Well, new research from Flinders University shows a failure to adequately engage and communicate with culturally and linguistically diverse communities has actually put people at risk. Older people and women with multicultural backgrounds were particularly impacted. And Bendigo Community Health Services realised early on that that was going to be an issue and made a concerted effort to reach Karen, Dinka and Dari language users in the region. Nido is a refugee project worker at BCHS, at Bendigo Community Health Services. And Nido's with us now, along with Kay Graves from Bendigo Community Health Service. Why did you want to work a bit harder to translate some of this health information for culturally and linguistically diverse communities?
All right. First of all, I would say that I've been working with Bendigo Community Health Services for about 4 years, and we have 4,000 Karen people living in the Bendigo region. So we know that it's really important. Since the beginning, myself with the Bendigo Community Health Services, we are really worried about, our older people to access kind of health information, something like that.
Yep.
And most older people, they have before coming to Australia, they spent their life in a refugee camp. They had no access to health education. They have poor literacy. Some of them, they don't even read and write. Their own language, so it's very important. So most of the information that comes from the government are in English, and they could access it. Mm-hmm. So we think that, we need to translate the information so that they can read, that they can access information in language.
Mm. The DHHS, so the Department of Health and Human Services, translated information, COVID information, into 50 different languages. Was that not enough?
The information that comes from the department is kind of a little too complex and also very terminological.
Yep.
It's really hard to understand. So the thing is that we trust that we need to kind of simplify the message and make it, irreadable and understandable in their own language.
Yeah, yeah. And Kay, did you come across that? Did you come across community members saying, I just don't understand, we just don't have current and understandable information?
Look, it depends on your pre-settlement story and experience. If you have, as Nido says, if you haven't been able to go to school, learn to read and write in your own language, then it's very difficult to read the documents. It was a great effort from both state and federal governments to translate into 50 different languages. But Karen is a really new language to Australia, and so that's one factor. But the older Karen, Afghan and some of the South Sudanese in our community hadn't been to school necessarily, so those government documents translated were not useful. They were not easily understood or understood at all. So we knew that we needed to consult with community, that we needed to simplify, with permission, some of those key messages and co-design authentically in language, which I think Nido can describe because he was one of the authors and the actors in many of the videos.
Oh, yeah, because there were some great videos made, Nido. What was the feedback you got on those videos?
Began with the printed translation. But we found that it's really hard to get the information out through the printed resources. So we just came up with the idea that we need to have an audio visual that people can easily watch and listen. The thing is that during the COVID-19, apart from Dinka and Afghan community, Karen community is the one follow most. Most of them they have the Facebook account. So it is the platform that we use to reach out to the people. So audio visual has been very successful, has been very useful, and the feedback that we received from the community are very positive, and they really like it. So they thank the Bendigo Community Health Services that make this audio visual. Every information about the changes and also the rules and also the regulation of the COVID in their own language.
Yeah, and so your community, your Karen community, they seem to have really engaged with that. And you said the Facebook take-up is quite high there. So is that, I mean, if we had another pandemic tomorrow, fingers crossed we don't, but if we do, is that what you would be trying to do, make more videos and get them onto Facebook and social media?
We also use Viber.
Oh, yeah.
We use different platforms, Viber and WhatsApp, for our different communities. We really listen to the younger ones who often enable the older ones to listen and watch.
Hmm.
So we follow their lead. We tailored and targeted messages using different mediums according to what the community was telling us they used. Now, in 5 years, if there is another pandemic, there'll be another platform. But the methodology we use is very simple. Understand your community, co-design authentically, ensure it's culturally safe and easily understood, utilise trusted local actors, and that we have 13 bicultural staff that speak three different languages and more, read and speak in English. So that methodology has really worked. There was a lot of fear and misinformation and disinformation, so we worked really hard, and with our trusted communities who we consulted with frequently.
Mm.
I think one of the features we're really proud of is the Karen telephone hotline, because digital literacy amongst older Coles and our refugee communities in Bendigo is really poor. They could not book their vaccinations. So we set up a Karen telephone hotline staffed by our fantastic Karen staff, supported by health professionals like myself. So most of the vaccinations for Karen have been booked through that.